All right, so let's dive into this. Today, we're going deep, really deep, into federal labor law,
Sounds good.
specifically a Supreme Court case called Karahalios v. National Federation of Federal Employees, Local 1263. And you've brought some really fascinating stuff to the table today. We've got excerpts from like this podcast guidance, right?
Yeah.
For a show called Lex Plug Podcast. Seems like it's aimed at law students, which is perfect.
Right.
And then we've got a detailed case brief and like a standard legal brief of the Karahalios case. So basically, we're going to try to cut through all this legal jargon, right?
Yeah,
And
fine.
figure out what it means for federal employees. What does this case tell us about the power dynamic, the relationship between federal workers and their unions?
Yeah, that's really the heart of it. The core issue is whether federal employees, can they actually sue their union if they feel like the union hasn't represented them fairly? It's a really interesting question because it kind of exposes this fundamental difference in how labor relations are handled in the public sector versus the private sector.
Yeah, and that's where this gets like super interesting, right? Because it's not just some abstract legal theory. Like this case came from an actual dispute, right? This happened to a real person, a real federal employee.
Yeah.
And then, the legal system had to respond to that. So we're going to dig into like what happened to this guy, Mr. Karahalios, how the case moved through the courts, and then like what the Supreme Court ultimately decided. And I think there are going to be some real aha moments for folks as we, unpack all
For
this.
sure.
So let's start with the basics. Like, who was Mr. Karahalios? What started this whole thing?
So, Evthymios Karahalios was a Greek language instructor. He worked for the Defense Language Institute, which is, a federal entity. And he was in a bargaining unit represented by the National Federation of Federal Employees, Local 1263. But here's the thing. He wasn't actually a union member himself.
So, non-union member, but in a unionized federal workplace. That's important.
Absolutely. That's key.
So, what was like the trigger? What set off this whole chain of events that led to the Supreme Court?
It all boils down to a promotion. So back in 1976, Karahalios was promoted to a course developer position. Now, this position, there's a little backstory here. It had previously been held by a guy named Simon Kuntelas, who, and this is important, was a board member of the union, Local 1263. And Kuntelas had been demoted when they initially eliminated the position.
So already we're seeing a connection between the job and the union leadership.
Exactly. So when they reinstated the course developer position, Karahalios got the promotion right. Well, Kuntelas, the union board member, wasn't happy about that. So the union actually stepped in and agreed to arbitrate on behalf of Quintilos. They argued that the promotion should be vacated and the position should be refilled. And you know what? They won the arbitration.
So the union's actively fighting against a non-member employee's promotion and for one of their own board members. That's a pretty big conflict of interest, isn't it?
It definitely raises some eyebrows, right?
Yeah. So what happened to Karahalios? Like, what was the outcome of all this?
So because of the union's success in arbitration, the Defense Language Institute ended up reassigning the course developer position back to Kuntelos. And of course, demoted Karahalios back to his old instructor role. This all happened in May of 1978.
That's rough. So he basically loses his promotion because the union intervened on behalf of someone else who also happened to be like a union bigwig. So did Karahalios, did he try to fight this?
Yeah, he protested to the institute, but they denied his protest. And then he turned to the union and said, "Hey, you guys, can you help me grieve this demotion?" I mean, remember, this demotion was a direct result of the union's actions.
Right, of course.
But the union refused to represent him.
Seriously.
They said it was a conflict of interest because, they had already fought so hard for Kuntelos on the same issue.
Oh, come on. That's unbelievable. So, the organization that's supposed to represent everyone in the bargaining unit fairly, including non-members like Karahalios, basically just leaves them hanging because they already took the other side. I mean, what's your take on this? It seems like a clear breach of their duty of fair representation, even if he wasn't paying union dues.
It's a really tough situation. You can see how the union might feel torn, right? They have this obligation to represent everyone fairly, but then they also have a duty to their members, especially those in leadership positions. This case really shows how tricky those competing loyalties can be.
Yeah, it's a mess. So what does Karahalios do? I mean, he's been demoted, the unions turn him away. What's his next move? How does this whole thing end up in the Supreme Court?
So he decided to take his case to the Federal Labor Relations Authority, the FLRA.
Okay.
And he filed unfair labor practice charges against both the Defense Language Institute and the union.
Right.
And here's the interesting part. The general counsel of the FLRA actually agreed with Karahalios about the union. Mm-hmm. They said, yeah, the union breached its duty of fair representation.
Wow. So even the FLRA, the federal body that oversees labor relations in the public sector, they're saying that the union messed up. That had to be a win for Karahalios, even if it didn't get his job back, right?
You'd think so, but not really. The settlement they reached didn't offer Karahalios any personal remedy. The union just had to post a notice saying that they'd guarantee fair representation to all employees going forward.
Seriously, a notice.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
He loses his promotion, gets demoted, and the resolution is a promise to do better next time. That's wild. So, of course, he decides to take this further. Right?
Yeah, he did. He wasn't satisfied with the FLRA settlement, so he went to federal district court and sued both the Institute and the union seeking damages. The court dismissed his case against the Institute, but they let him go ahead with the unfair labor practice charge against the union. After a trial, the court agreed that the union had screwed up, you know, breached its duty.
Yeah.
But they only awarded Karahalios his attorney's fees.
So he wins, but he doesn't really win. It acknowledges the wrong, but there's no real compensation. Then it goes to the appeals court.
Right. And the appeals court actually reversed the district court's decision.
Really?
Yeah. They based their decision on the Civil Service Reform Act, the CSRA.
Okay.
Which is the law that governs federal labor relations. Their argument was that the CSRA has this whole system set up to handle these kinds of complaints, and that system goes through the FLRA. You can't just bypass that and go straight to federal court.
So basically they're saying there's a process, you got to follow the process, and that sets us up for the Supreme Court, right? Yeah.
Exactly. You've got this conflict between the district court and the appeals court, and the Supreme Court has to step in and sort it out.
Right. So what was the big question that the Supreme Court had to answer in this case?
The question was whether the CSRA, you know, Title VII of the Civil Service Reform Act of 1978, does that implicitly give federal employees the right to sue their union directly in federal court for not representing them fairly? Like, could Karahalios skip the FLRA process and go straight to court to get damages from the union?
And the Supreme Court gave a pretty clear answer to that, right?
They did. And it was unanimous. The Supreme Court said, no, federal employees cannot sue their unions directly in federal court for breaching their duty of fair representation.
Wow, unanimous. That's a strong statement. So why? What was the reasoning behind that decision?
Well, Justice White, who wrote the opinion for the court, he emphasized that Congress designed the CSRA to funnel these types of disputes, like unfair labor practices, through the FLRA and its general counsel. They didn't want courts getting involved in these issues. They wanted the FLRA to handle it.
So it's not just about whether the union did something wrong. It's about following the process that Congress set up. And the Supreme Court uses this three-part test, right?
Yes.
To figure out if a law implies a right to sue. Did they use that here?
Oh, absolutely. They looked at the CSRA, you know, the text of the law, the history of how it was made, and they couldn't find anything to suggest that Congress intended to create a private right of action for federal employees to sue their unions.
Yeah.
So that's the first part of the test, legislative intent.
So no evidence that Congress actually thought about this possibility and wanted to allow it.
Exactly. The second part of the test is about remedies. The court said, look, the CSRA already has a way to deal with this. You go through the FLRA.
Mm.
They saw that as the intended solution, so they weren't inclined to create another one.
Makes sense. If there's a designated process, the courts don't want to mess with it.
Right. And the third part of the test is about consistency. The court argued that letting federal courts get involved in these cases would actually disrupt the whole system that the CSRA created. It would undermine the FLRA's authority and lead to inconsistencies.
So basically, it could create chaos where courts are making decisions that Congress intended the FLRA to make. And here's where the comparison between public and private sector gets really interesting, right? Because the Supreme Court specifically mentioned the National Labor Relations Act, which deals with private sector unions.
Yeah, they drew a really clear distinction there. Under the NLRA, you can sue your union in certain circumstances, like if you feel they haven't represented you fairly.
Right.
And the key difference is that the NLRA doesn't have this same kind of comprehensive administrative remedy that the CSRA has. So in the private sector, lawsuits are allowed to fill that gap.
It's like if there's no other option, the courts step in. But since the CSRA has the FLRA, the court basically said, we don't need another way to do this.
Right. And this, you know, this difference is significant because it shows that Public sector labor law is treated differently. It's its own thing with its own rules.
Yeah, that's a really important point. So what were the big takeaways from the Karahalios decision? What were the implications?
I think the biggest one is that the FLRA is the main authority for enforcing the duty of fair representation in the federal sector. If a federal employee feels like their union wronged them, they pretty much have to go through the FLRA.
So no going straight to federal court, even if you feel like you've been seriously harmed?
That's what the Karahalios decision says.
And this case also shows how important statutory interpretation is, right?
Definitely. The court really focused on what the CSRA actually said, the specific language, the structure of the law. They weren't trying to read between the lines or find rights that weren't explicitly there.
And they even said, the express provision of one remedy suggests Congress meant to preclude others.
Yeah, that's a key principle in statutory interpretation.
So what does all this mean for, you know, someone studying law, someone interested in labor relations? It seems like federal employees have pretty limited options if they feel like the union isn't treating them fairly.
It definitely highlights the importance of understanding the specific laws that govern labor relations in different areas. For federal employees, it means working within the framework of the CSRA and the FLRA, and it emphasizes the importance of the duty of fair representation itself.
Yeah, the idea that unions have to represent everyone in the bargaining unit fairly, regardless of whether they're a union member or not.
Exactly. And the Karahalios case is a really powerful reminder of what can happen when that duty is breached.
So to sum it all up, this case, Karahalios, really shows us a key limitation for federal employees when it comes to their legal options if they feel like their union has failed them. The Supreme Court basically said, stick to the CSRA, stick to the FLRA.
Right. We saw how this one guy's dispute over promotion turned into this landmark decision that affects how unions are held accountable in the federal sector.
And it raises some important questions, right?
Definitely.
Like, if federal employees can't sue their unions directly, what other ways can they ensure that they're being represented fairly? And what does it mean that they have to rely solely on the FLRA system? Those are definitely things to think about.
Absolutely. Lots to consider.
Well, thanks for taking this deep dive with us. It's been a fascinating look at a really important case.
My pleasure.
And for everyone listening, keep those questions in mind. They're worth exploring further.